Welcome to Illuminated Lamb, where we discuss the themes of Christ and light as found in the scripture. If you're following us on YouTube, please comment, share, like, and subscribe. It really helps our placement with the YouTube algorithm. I've wanted to go over two verses in scripture today that speak about spiritual light or spiritual illumination that's being given to us. Both of them are found in Psalm 119. The first verse I want to go through is Psalm 119, verse 105, which reads, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I often think about this verse when I'm in a dark place, no street lights, somewhere out in the country, somewhere up in, let's say, northern Michigan, and trying to walk through a path or up a staircase up the hill when it's nighttime, and having that flashlight in front of you just illuminating the part of your path just in front of you is necessary as you take the next step, you illuminate the next step forward. The Word of God tends to act that way for us, that we aren't always going to see everything for us all the way through to its end. The Word often is just for that moment, that day, and then as we follow, as we trust, as we obey, we move forward to the next day. So in a very real way, the Word of God is like a flashlight in a dark place. The second verse is also found in Psalm 119, and it's in verse 130, which reads, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." The word unfolding here in Scripture is an interesting one. It has to do with going back to the time in which texts were written, not in the way that we're used to seeing them in hard copy now in, let's say, book form, which it will open and close. It's known as a codex nowadays. However, prior to that, if you were going to have a book, you were going to have it on a scroll. Scripture refers to the Lord Jesus when he was in the synagogue in Nazareth being handed the scroll of the book of Isaiah. He wasn't handed a book where he could just flip it open and then open it up like this. It was something that had to be unfolded in order to open up. And Scripture is telling us that the opening up is the passage to spiritual illumination from God. And in our time, I don't know how many people still read from scrolls, but in our case, it still might be where one is reading from a hard copy of scripture, or maybe one's reading from a Bible app, that the opening up of your app or the opening up of your physical book gives light. I was concentrating on how we could maximize the spiritual illumination we get from reading scripture. I have found the Council of the Puritans to be of extreme help. They aren't the only people in church history to write on these subjects, particularly of biblical meditation, which I'll speak about in a moment. However, for me, they've been my go-to guys. I can read their material, and they have great insight that they've passed down to us now from on the order of like 350 to 400 years ago. There's one particular writer who I think speaks very well and concisely about the path of biblical meditation, and that was a British minister from the 17th century named Thomas Manton. What Manton did was to lay out three guidelines for how to approach Scripture. It's a threefold path in which it has the points of read or hear. Second one is to meditate, and the third is to pray. When it comes to reading scripture, do keep in mind that for those of us who are English speakers in the 21st century, we are so used to being able to have scripture in our own language and in multiple translations in English. I don't know that we take into account that through most of church history, Christians were not able to read the scriptures because they either didn't have physical access to them, they couldn't read, they couldn't afford them. I mean, there are any number of reasons. So the way that they would take in scripture wasn't so much reading as it was hearing or listening. So when I'm referring to reading, take in reading and hearing as well, because we're also in a position now where we have Bible apps where we can not only read the text, but the text can read back to us the text that's being scrolled through at that point on our screens. So for us, that intake is reading and listening. So my suggestion would be to take a small amount of scripture, maybe a few verses. And again, this is more of an art than a science. There's no hard and fast rules about doing this. These are techniques that have worked for Christians over the centuries, and it's not the only way of doing it, but I find it to be a really useful way. So talking about reading and listening and taking just a few verses that you're bringing in that you want to have the chance to think through, to meditate on. The second step is meditation itself. Something that needs to be brought up here is that in Western culture, the idea of meditation has a meaning which is far different from the way Scripture defines meditation. In Western culture, meditation is some practice that's usually tied to an Eastern religion or some form of New Age spirituality. It often is the case in which that kind of meditation, one is trying to empty their mind, or perhaps in the case of mindfulness, trying to keep their focus on one thing and one thing only at that point. When it comes to biblical meditation, it's a matter of filling your mind with the Word of God and then working it over in your mind, in a sense, over and over again. It's likened to the way that a cow would chew the cud, that when it comes to taking in grass, a cow is not going to just go up to a clump of grass, grab it, eat it, and then just swallow it. The cow is going to take it in its mouth, work it over, work it over, work it over. And in the same way, we are called to do that with Scripture in terms of biblical meditation. Thomas Manton has a really interesting way of defining meditation. Let me read from the works of Thomas Manton, which says, "Meditation is a middle sort of duty between the word and prayer, and has respect to both. The word feeds meditation, and meditation feeds prayer. These duties must always go hand in hand. Meditation must follow hearing and precede prayer. To hear and not to meditate is unfruitful. We may hear and hear, but it is like putting a thing into a bag with holes. It is rashness to pray and not to meditate. What we take in the word, we digest by meditation and let out by prayer. These three duties must be ordered that one may not jostle out the other. Men are barren, dry, and sapless in their prayers for want or for lack of exercising themselves in holy thoughts." We find the word meditation frequently used in the Old Testament. However, we really don't find it in the New Testament, yet the concept is there. One example we can find is in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." So you might ask, what do we do in terms of meditation? I can suggest several things, and as you grow and develop in these and do more reading on these with other writers from church history and contemporary writers as well, to talk about what could be the content of our meditation or our reflections. As we're reading through Scripture, we may see something that gives us more of a sense of who God is. There may be something that we're reading that gives us more of a sense of who we are. There's something that may answer a question that we've been asking God and asking ourselves. We could be at a place where we see what Scripture is telling us of some lack of ours. Perhaps it's some area of sin which we need to repent and move away from. There are any number of things that we can be reflecting on. There's even things such as you grow in your knowledge of Scripture, looking to other places in Scripture where you can read a passage and say, wow, this actually reminds me of a passage similar to this in then another book. And it's the way that for you, your understanding of Scripture is strengthened. I've been convinced that Scripture is something of a lattice. I've seen drawings of where one Scripture verse connects to another, either by a direct quote or making an allusion to it. And it's a beautiful graphic, but it's incredibly huge. It's this incredible interlaced work, which knowing that as you're reading through scripture and then meditating on it, knowing that there are other areas of scripture that are going to sound pretty similar to what you are meditating on at the moment. The third is prayer. So after you've read a passage and you've meditated and reflected on it, let what you've known and what you've thought about reflect in the way that you pray about it. Do keep in mind the Word of God is eternal, living and active. However, the way that we apply it is going to be different in our different seasons of life and even in the different times and circumstances in which we live. A passage which may be very helpful for a high school or a college student in terms of studying for an exam or getting through academic life is going to be a lot different from somebody who's, let's say, in middle age, they've been raising their family. It could be different from somebody who's retired and now has a career behind him or her and asking, what do I do to honor God with the rest of my life? So again, remember, scripture is going to remain the same, but the way that we apply it is going to differ. And then as we're praying, after we read and meditate or reflect, ask yourself, how should I approach praying what I see here? Is it something I need to pray for others? Is it something I need to pray for myself? Perhaps it's a circumstance around you, perhaps something in your community, maybe something going on in the world at the moment. But asking yourself, how do I apply this in terms of my knowing it and, in a sense, hiding it in my heart, hiding scripture in my heart? And then how do I ask God in prayer to address this issue? See you on the next podcast.